broadcasting worldwide.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Well, welcome everybody to today's show. Excited to be here with you. I'm your co-host, Mark Kohler, with my amazing partner.
Hey, this is Matt Sorensen. Excited to be with you today. Welcome to today's show. There's lots of ways to listen to today's show. We want to make sure you know all of the ways to get this show. However you may be listening, thanks for being with us today. You can find us on the BizTalk Radio app at biztalkradio.com. Also, you may have found us on iTunes under the Refresh Your Wealth podcast.
Well, and I just want to say thanks for everybody listening. I know some of you may be shocked that you're actually going to listen to a show that has the word taxes in it, and I want to compliment all of you for your dedication here to saving taxes and better living the American dream. That's what this show is all about. We want to help you save taxes, build wealth, protect your assets, and make it fun, make it interesting. Matt and I, we're not your typical CPAs or attorneys. We're going to try to keep this lively and exciting. And, man, we're all about you guys having a great experience on today's show.
Yeah, and I know most people like to talk to their CPA or their lawyer only when they have to. We try to be different. So as you go through the show today, as Mark said, we're going to try and entertain you, but more importantly, educate you. And this show is all about teaching you how to build wealth, how to get it, how to keep it, how to pay the government as little tax as you need to. So I'm excited for today's topic in particular, which is a really critical topic to anyone that's a business owner, really anyone that even owns a home, because that's what we're talking about today, how to protect the equity in your home. It's the number one asset that Americans have. It's been the greatest source of wealth and retirement for many people. I know, as Mark Kohler likes to joke, that it's called the California 401k, the equity in your home. So we're going to be diving into that and teach you how to protect it today, going through some legal strategies.
Yeah, the show's going to fluctuate, folks, and we hope you start listening every week, chalking up ways to save money and protect your wealth. Sometimes we're going to focus on taxes. Sometimes it's just focusing on protecting assets, and your home, that's where it's at. Really, for millions and millions of Americans, your home is your number one asset, and today we're going to talk about ways to protect it, and it's going to vary from state to state. And while we're talking about state to state, we want to welcome some of our new AM listeners from a couple of affiliates that just picked us up recently, Charleston, South Carolina, and Jackson, Tennessee. Welcome to all you listeners out there. Love to always have new affiliates picking us up around the country. And whether you're listening on iTunes, on your treadmill after the fact, or you're catching us live on Biz Talk Radio, we welcome you and excited to just again be sharing this time with you. It's a part of us. We just love it. So I think, Matt, you know, for those that are new to the show, we're going to start with a legal tip.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right, well, we have attorney Lee Chen. He is an attorney in the Irvine, California office of KKLS Lawyers, a superb law firm, might I add. As you know, through the show, those of you who listen often, we do have some tax and legal tips we like to kick off the show. Give you some quick information and tips from attorneys and accountants in the trenches, so to speak. And Lee, what do you got for us today?
Matt and Mark, thank you for having me on the show. It's great to be on. I wanted to talk a little bit about your topic about protecting your assets. And I thought one of the main things to protect your assets is stay out of a lawsuit. And so I wanted to talk about some strategies when you're entering into contracts for keeping that contract out of court.
Well, that's a very unique approach. Stay out of a lawsuit. That's a good first tip, Lee. That's revolutionary, I've got to say.
Yeah, it's kind of obvious, but, you know, we get calls every day from
Well, I like that you bring up contracts. I know for those that have listened to our show for years, when Lee Chen is our fighter, he's our litigator, and I know that many times you get sucked into court over contracts that really shouldn't be in court. And so I'm interested to hear about your tip. What tell us about contracts and what people could be doing better.
Well, just having a contract is not enough. It's a start, believe me. We get plenty of calls from people. I got a call today from someone in a partnership dispute, had no contract, and I pretty much had to say, well, you're screwed. But even if you have a contract, okay, it's important that you think about certain terms that will protect you in a lawsuit. For example, if you're getting into a partnership or you're hiring contractors, regardless of the contract, there are certain terms that you should have in a contract, or you should at least consider in any type of contract when you're dealing with another person. For example, do you want to be going to court? So one important term that you might want to consider is what we call a dispute resolution clause. To keep you out of court, if there's a dispute, you don't want to be having someone sue you, you know, before you even know it, which I've had happen. You know, people just, you know, one day someone comes knocking on the door and they're getting sued for a contract. You want to prevent that. So have a clause in your contract that says, hey, if there's a problem, look, we are going to try to resolve this informally. We may go and do a mediation with a neutral third party to resolve this. We may go to arbitration where it's more informal and it works a lot faster, but have something in there that allows you to resolve this without first having to go to court.
All right. So great tip, Lee, is for your contracts. Remember, keep in mind to look out for dispute resolution clauses. I think a lot of this is we're entering into contracts. We're not driving that decision. You know, maybe you're a consumer or, you're an investor, or you're on the other side of the drafting of the contract, and so you don't see that. In certain situations, that's certainly something you could ask for. If you're a business owner in particular, that's a great opportunity to make sure those clauses are in there with respect to dispute resolution, whether it's mediation or arbitration.
Yeah, and I want to add to the fact that having a attorney fees provision is typical with that. And to just say it a different way, and I'm glad that you brought this up, Lee, is that, and I'm just going to say this to our listeners out there, if you're going to enter into a contract with someone, have a paragraph that says, yes, I want mediation, or no, I don't. Yes, I want arbitration, or no, I don't. But if we do go to court, that the loser pays the legal fees or the attorney fees. Because if it's silent and you don't agree to it in the contract and you go to court, even if you win, most judges are not going to award you the attorney fees that you paid to win unless it's in the contract. And a lot of us, I think, oh, if I go to court and I win, the judge is automatically going to reimburse me for all these legal fees. But, Lee, that's not the case.
Not at all, Mark. And when you come into our office with a legal dispute and say, you know, do I have a case? Should I sue? The first question I'm going to ask you is, does your contract have an attorney's fees provision? Because otherwise, you're paying for the attorney.
Well, perfect tip. Lee, I like it. Short and sweet. It's short and sweet and to the point. And I think it's time to go to our tax tip. And Lee, we're going to catch you here in another few weeks. And thanks for coming on to the show.
My pleasure, Mark. I love to be on the show.
All right.
Thanks, Lee.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
Well, Matt, guess who gets to give the tax tip today? Believe it or not. No, it's not you. I'm sorry. It's yours truly, Mark Kohler. I get the honor to give us a tax tip today, and as a licensed CPA, I always love to talk taxes. So I'm going to throw out something here to celebrate the 4th of July. We recently, of course, celebrated in many different ways, even with Memorial Day and then Veterans Day and all these different special holidays. to respect the veterans. And I think it's so important that we talk about some of these tax tips that are special and are carved out for the veterans. And I myself want to just give a shout out to so many of the veterans that sacrificed their lives, their families, and the opportunities for maybe a different career or a better career, and all that they give to our country. And so I think here, when we get back from our break, I want to throw down 3 or 4 tips that are going to blow your mind, that are just really, really helpful for those veterans serving our country today.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. Now, Mark, we were just delving in. We just started in on a tax tip for our members of the armed forces. So let's just dive back into that. I know you got a great tax tip for them.
You bet. I want to hit 3 of them. And this may be surprising to some of those that don't have family members or have worked with those in the military. But the first tip, that's very important, and probably the most significant, is that military servicemen and servicewomen do not pay taxes on combat pay. So when you are serving in a combat zone, your income during that period of time is tax-free. It's non-reportable, and that's, of course, the least the government should do for you, right, when you're serving in a combat zone. I know that some of you out there in America feel like you live in combat zones and probably deserve to get tax-free income, but I hate to say it's only for our veterans serving in those combat zones around the world. Now, the second tip that kind of goes along with that, though, is that even though you have that combat zone income exclusion, the beauty is that the IRS allows you to still claim the earned income credit as if you had earned the income, and also make any IRA contributions. So I think this is a great opportunity for those that are maybe listening today that have, a family member, or you yourself are in the military, to realize that you can still make that IRA contribution with some of those tax-free dollars that you're receiving during that combat pay service period. And then 3, just to get it out there, and I think this is an important one, is that you get this travel expense deduction that's on the front page of your tax return. And this travel and moving expense deduction is a big one, because whenever you're having to travel overseas, or as many of us know, and I think some of us have friends that were called Army brats or something like that, where they lived in so many different places, you want to take advantage of the moving expense, the travel expense. Read up on the details of those and make sure that you're tracking every possible expense when you're having to travel and move, because it's hard on the family, and you should get a tax break for it. So 3 little tips there, helping out our armed service folks, and happy 4th of July. There you go.
All right. Well, that's awesome, Mark. Now, we have our question of the week. We're going to keep it tax-related still here for a few minutes. Last week's question was, is the Apple Watch tax deductible? Can I write off the Apple Watch? I know Mark himself was trying to answer that question so he could justify to his wife why he needed a Apple Watch. and I don't know if it won over or not, but...
In fact, Matt, it did. I received my tax-deductible Apple Watch for Father's Day. I was really excited about that. I had all the kids chip in. And for those that are new to the show, this is a big deal. We're going to pose a question every week, and the winner of that question with the best, most accurate question and the first to send in receives a copy of Matt or mine's book. And Matt, do we have a winner?
Yeah, we have a winner. Rafik is our winner from Trinity, Florida. Rafik wrote in and said, if one's cell phone is used for business or as a business phone under IRS Rule 125, related equipment like Bluetooth, mic, or headphones used for business purposes are tax deductible. Many of the Apple Watch's features like calendar, alerts, email enhance business productivity. Hence, the Apple Watch is tax deductible.
Well, Rafik, I just want to give you a little shout out and tell you, you may have read a blog article of mine because freaking that was right on, and I love it. And I just want to add to it and say that the Apple Watch is considered an accessory to your phone other than a typical watch, which just tells you time or may have some nice features. So this is a new issue. Some of the tax publications are out there are still debating how much of the Apple Watch is deductible. Should only a portion of it be deductible? We're not sure, but you know what, Rafik? That's the most accurate answer I've heard yet, and I love it. And that's our position currently at Kane ECPA. So, Matt, he gets a book. Did he choose a book? What are we doing there?
Yeah, he picked your book. So it's he wants mine. He's going to try and answer another question later to get mine. So I mean, he's holding out for that. He doesn't want to get the best book first. So,
well, I kind of knew the answer to that. So I was teeing that up to make Matt answer that question. For those that are listeners of our show, new listeners, I should say, Matt has the book titled The Self-Directed IRA Handbook. It is the best-selling book on IRA self-directed strategy planning. Fantastic book. And my newest book out myself is titled The Tax and Legal Playbook, just out this year with Entrepreneur Press, Entrepreneur Magazine. And Rafik, thanks for choosing my book. We will be mailing that out to you this week and want to thank you for your answer. Now, Matt, what's the question this week?
All right, let's get the question out for next week. We did get a lot of answers actually in on the last one. Really nice to see that response. Here is the question for this week. Would your umbrella insurance protect you if you caused an accident while texting and driving?
Ooh, now I like this. Now I'm going to repeat that because, again, for all of our listeners out there, iTunes, AM radio, BizTalk radio, wherever you may be, you can email your answer to mark@kkoslawyers.com or matt@kkoslawyers.com. Send us your answer. The question is, would your umbrella insurance policy cover you if you were in an accident while texting and driving? And this is a big question because, Matt, this directly relates to today's topic.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll talk a little bit about insurance today. Getting in an accident, having a liability against you, whether it's from texting or driving or anything else, I mean, those are one of those things that just happens. And so we're going to talk about protecting your home today, and we'll go through lots of different ways you can have liabilities, but more importantly, the strategies to protect that home, to protect it against creditors so that you can keep that hard-earned equity that you've been paying likely very long to build up. And but as Mark said, if you do have an answer on that, get it into us. The person who gets it the soonest with the most accurate answer is the winner. And we'll get a signed copy of either Mark or my book, and we will read your answer on the air next week if you win.
And right before we go to break, I want to reiterate, folks, do not change the dial. Do not change to a new podcast. You want to stay right here because we're going to be giving you tips on ways to protect your home in a lawsuit, and we're going to break it down and give you some practical strategies that you can implement right now in your life to protect probably the biggest asset you have, your home.
Welcome back, everyone. This is the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. Today, we are talking about how to protect the equity in your home, protecting your home from a lawsuit. And Mark, my co-host with me today, we are both attorneys. I want to let you know that. So we do have some credentials behind what we're going to be talking about today. We have a list of strategies we want to let you know about. Mark, why don't you fire away on the first one? Let's just delve into this.
You bet. The first one that I want to bring up is the homestead exemption. Now, when a lot of you listeners out there hear the homestead exemption, the first thought that may come to your mind is the bankruptcy statute, that if I go into bankruptcy, there's some sort of homestead exemption. Well, folks, that has nothing to do with this particular asset protection principle. The homestead exemption also applies when it comes to protecting the equity in your home when it comes to a lawsuit. Now, one of the most famous cases on the homestead exemption was the O.J. Simpson case when, after losing the civil trial for over $30 million, he had already moved his residency to Florida. And Florida is one of those incredible states that has a unlimited homestead exemption, which means that if you get into a lawsuit, they cannot touch your home. Now, there's only a few states that have this unlimited homestead exemption: South Dakota, Texas, Florida, and really, it's District of Columbia, Washington, D.C. So we don't want to principally rely on that, because in most states, it's limited by a specific dollar amount. $100,000 in California, $150,000 in Arizona, Alabama, $10,000. But, Matt, that does include your house up on blocks. So, you know, that's kind of a good deal. So,
gotta keep wow, that. Does it include two?
Well, if you have...
His and hers?
That's right. If you have a Trans Am out in front on blocks, then yeah, the mobile home is covered too. No offense to my Alabama listeners. I'm just playing around here. But no, Alabama is one of the worst ones. It's just crazy. Now, in the back of my book, the Tax and Legal Playbook, there's a table and where I go through all the states and what those homestead exemptions are. But the first point, and then we'll move on, is all of you out there, please go Google it. Look at what the rule is in your state. What is the homestead exemption for your state, and how much of the equity in your home would be protected if you're in a lawsuit?
Yeah, and I think anyone that owns a home, you want to know this for your specific state. And it's important to know, too, because there are some states that make you actually file something to claim it. So keep that in mind. That could be applicable in your state. So look it up. There's a great resource, as Mark said, the Tax and Legal Playbook. Mark, what about ways to hold title as a form of protecting my home? How should title be held, or what are some of the title holding strategies in protecting the equity in my home?
Well, it's a great one. The next one, and there's several, probably the most popular, and it works in about 15 to 20 states, is what's called tenancy by the entirety. Now, what that principle means is that if you're married, sorry for you single folks out there, you're SOL, and I'm not talking statute of limitations. You're going to have, if you're married and you get into a lawsuit, is it fair that your spouse loses the house because you did something stupid? Well, a lot of you would probably answer and say, no, that's not fair. I should be protected. So, for example, in Hawaii, there's a tenancy by the entirety statute that says if one spouse gets into a lawsuit and loses, and there's a huge judgment, they can't go after the home if they're married, and the title states, joint tenancy with tenancy by the entirety. There's specific verbiage to use. In fact, you want to confirm that with the county of record wherever you may be in the country. But tenancy by the entirety is a great way to hold title in these states that protect married couples.
Yeah, and there's some other states that have that. As Mark said, there's maybe 15 to 20. It's something that's been growing over the years. It's maybe in the last 20 years or so, it's been creeping along amongst in different states. Illinois, for example, is a big state that also has a tenancy by the entirety. What about, though, just putting the house in one spouse's name versus the other? Is that a good strategy to do?
Well, how much does your spouse love you? Now, don't answer that, Matt. I know Catherine, and I love her
to
death.
She listens to the show.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, Catherine, You may want to talk Matt into putting the house in your name because of you live a lot less riskier of a lifestyle. So here's the trick. Of course, some people have gone to the extent of saying, I'm a surgeon. I'm a truck driver. I'm in construction. Who knows? You may have a high risk occupation and you're afraid of a lawsuit. You may put the home in your spouse's name. Now, in a lot of states, this can work very effectively, but the effectiveness will vary from state to state based on common law, which means case law. So some states have protected the home. When that happens, other states have said, forget it. You're trying to pull a fast one on this poor creditor that got stuck here. You want to, again, know what the rule is in your state, but some people will put it in their spouse's name, and I always worry about marital planning. Be careful. You know, you've got all these different states with marital law.
Yeah, that's one of those ones you can do, but you want to be careful. I think sometimes people walk into that one as the first option, and don't consider some of these other issues, whether it's later on difficulty in the marriage, or maybe there's some tax consequences, or what happens if there's death of one of us. It can affect a lot of different legal planning areas. So give some good advice if that's the situation you're in, because there are some competing factors, not just asset protection when you do that.
No, I hear you. And Matt, you know, I know you've been a big fan of equity stripping. You've talked about that for years as being really one of the frontline strategies. Can you give us a tutorial on what equity stripping is all about?
Yeah. Now, when you think about a lawsuit against your home, that's someone's generally going to have a judgment against you, and they're going to want to go after the equity in your home. So if you have a mortgage on the property or a home equity line of credit, what will happen is a creditor that may have a judgment against you only gets paid after those mortgages or home equity lines of credit get paid first, because they'll typically have a lien on the property in advance of this creditor coming to take the equity in your home. So one of the great strategies is simply using a home equity line of credit, get it put on the home. Generally, when a bank puts a home equity line of credit on your home, what they're going to do is put a lien on it up to the credit amount, whether you draw on the credit or not. And that kind of clouds title, so to speak, so that there's not a lot of equity left that could be available to a creditor. It's a good way to protect that equity in your home and give you an option to draw that equity if you need to, and also make it more difficult for a creditor to come in and get at that equity that otherwise might be available to them.
Yeah, and the sad part here is if you're an American living in the United States the last 5 years, you've probably noticed that banks just love to do home equity lines of credit. For crying out loud, you can't even give blood in your firstborn child to get a HELOC nowadays, right? It's ridiculous. All these banks have the money and they're not loaning it. Ugh, don't get me started. I'm gonna start getting on one of my rants here. So here's it. You know, some folks will take. I know there's listeners out there that you're already thinking about this. We have clients that will set up an entity, or maybe even have a pre-established legitimate company, to lien their own home. They'll lien their own home with a trust deed. So on public record, it shows that there's this mortgage against your house. Now, is it a legitimate mortgage? No, it's not. You just lien the home with a company you own. Now, on public record, though, the average creditor that's doing an asset search may see that and be dissuaded from coming after you because they see no equity. Now, if someone's really mad enough and has deep enough pockets, and of course, if you get into a lawsuit to that extent, they're going to find out that it was simply smoke and mirrors. But some people will resort to this smoke and mirror strategy of leaning their own home with a related company. It's not illegal to do. I'm just telling you, if push comes to shove in a lawsuit, don't think it's going to protect you.
Yeah, now we're going to also talk about insurance. We'll talk about umbrella insurance. We might get into some discussion on LLCs as well. And we're also going to go through some frequently asked questions we get and things not to do after the break. Let me just start in on insurance, basically. And we only have a few minutes to introduce this, but I want to talk about using an umbrella insurance policy. That's another common strategy people might use. An umbrella insurance policy is a policy that goes over and on top of other insurance you may already have. So I think a lot of people think differently of umbrella insurance. They think it covers new things, it fills in gaps. But umbrella insurance only gives you more insurance for insurance you already have. So there's some limitations in that protection. We'll talk more about it when we come back here after the break. You're listening to the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sun.
Welcome back. You're listening to Refresh Your Wealth with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen, talking about ways to save taxes, protect our assets, and better live the American dream. Today's topic is protecting the equity in our home. Amongst all of our other crazy, awesome tax strategies, we're going to just keep wrapping up this topic on protecting your home. Right before we went to break, Matt Sorensen brought up umbrella insurance. Now, of course, our question of the week was, will umbrella insurance protect you if you were in a texting and driving accident? Please send in your questions, send in your answers to that question for those that could win a free copy of one of our books. But without giving the answer away, I want to just add to Matt's comment on umbrella insurance and make the biggest point, I think, and that is it's very affordable. Umbrella insurance is something I think most Americans should consider. I don't sell insurance, so believe it or not, there's not a sales pitch at the end of this. But I really think umbrella insurance, you can get $500,000, $1 million, even $2 million of extra gap coverage for uninsured motorists, a lot of different claims, and only spend $200 to $300, $400, $500 a year. It's very affordable. So I like that you brought that up, Matt, because I think umbrella insurance is a great way to help protect the equity in your home. But Matt, before we go on to our list of other ways to protect your home, we want to do another giveaway. We got our 5-star reviews, huh?
That's right. So we appreciate those who listen to us via iTunes. If you listen via iTunes, we could really use more 5-star reviews. So that's the Refresh Your Wealth Show in the podcast section of iTunes. We have 2 new 5-star reviews from this past week. I'm going to go ahead and read those, and thanks for submitting these. The first is from Alpha255. You know, these are people's usernames, so forgive me if I don't know your names here, but the review was 5 stars. It said, Mark and Matt are great at helping the listener to understand how to create, keep, and use wealth to benefit your family and society. You'll be glad you took the time to listen. I am. And then DevWill369 wrote in, also a 5-star review, said, great program. Matt put together an operating agreement for me and did an awesome job. It's great to listen to what Matt has to say without paying him. Entertaining guys that really know the subject matter. So thanks for those reviews. We know one of the persons who wrote those reviews contacted us, so we'll be sending them a signed copy of Minor Mark's books. Please, if you do have a 5-star review you'd like to give us, go to iTunes and leave that for us. It makes us feel great, makes us feel happy. And, you know, we don't get paid for doing this show. It's something we like to do to help educate people. And as the last person put in there, it is nice to hear without having to pay, you know, $800 an hour to get our advice. So glad that it's being appreciated, and thanks for showing us the love.
Yeah, and I just want to mention this, too. For many of you new listeners out there, you may not know this. We have been doing this show live 1 hour every week for the last 8 years. And if you go to iTunes, we have over 150 shows on a copious amount of topics that you can start listening to immediately. So for those that are smartphone users, please get over to the podcast app and in your commute, please check out some of those shows. Lots of great topics. And just know that we've got them there ready for you to use. Now, let's dive into, again, another strategy for protecting your home. This is one of my favorites, Matt. I know you and I talk about it quite a bit with clients in the states where it works, and that is the Domestic Asset Protection Trust, a.k.a. the DAPT. I'm a big fan, and currently in 15 states, there are laws on these DAPs on the books. They're generally referenced as a self-settled trust. But, Matt, there is a little bit of a timing issue. There's some tricks to it. What would you throw out there, again, for just kind of a it's hard to – we could talk for a whole hour about DAPs, but yeah. What should the average listener know?
Well, I think the first thing to keep in mind with a DAP is this is something you put on as protection. Like it's like a helmet or a seatbelt, you know. You put this on before the liability arises. It's not the ambulance or the bandages that come on after the fact. So this is a prospective planning tool, as are a lot of these strategies. So what you want to do is set up the DAP in advance. It essentially operates like a trust, if you're familiar with maybe a trust for estate planning purposes. And this is something that's really used for the home in particular. If you do have a lot of equity in your home, you're in one of those 15 states that have a DAP, that's a great opportunity to use this trust. What happens, and we've even had clients that have used this, had a judgment against them, and a creditor has tried to collect, and they got stopped. I mean, we were able to use the DAP and prevent creditors from getting into those assets. So it's a powerful tool. It's well used. And it's much better than going offshore and doing some complex offshore trust. We want to be very careful doing something of that nature. But there's some great trust you can set here up in the U.S. that can protect your assets, including the number one asset, your home.
Yeah, and I'll just say this quickly. For those that are already listening and been intrigued and want to learn more, I'll say it right now before we start to run out of time. Please get to Amazon.com, check out the Tax and Legal Playbook. You can type in my name, Mark Kohler, and you'll see that book come right up. I have an entire chapter on how to protect the equity in your home and a chapter specifically dedicated to the DAPT, the D-A-P-T, and the 15 states listed where it works. Now, I do want to say this, and Matt, I know you're just as much a naysayer as I am, and that is the land trust. We've got to be really, really careful with the land trust. They're, in my opinion, oversold. There are a few states where land trusts can be used effectively for privacy protection, but you got to be careful. I'm not a big fan of the land trust.
Yeah, there's some. We're just going to throw out a few things not to do. The land trust would be one of those things not to do. Setting up a Nevada corporation or LLC for your home. Well, that's not a strategy we'd recommend either to protect the equity in your home. There's some things out there. There's some misinformation, some half-truths, unfortunately, about how to protect the equity in your home. If you're thinking about trusts for asset protection, look to the DAP first. You may have a trust or revocable trust for estate planning, but stick to the DAP. That's your first trust to look at.
Well, and I want to say thanks again to everybody listening this week to another episode of Refresh Your Wealth with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. We hope to see you next week. Please get to iTunes or BizTalk Radio and check out our old episodes. Thanks so much, and keep living that American dream.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.